It's Friday, November the 20th, 2009. I'm Mike Benedetti. This is 508, a show about Worcester.
Brendan Milliken.
Good morning.
Here today. It's a rainy morning today.
But we have shelter.
We have shelter because we didn't get more than 10 comments, so we're not gonna be unsheltered for this week's show. For all of our many new viewers this week, we have a Facebook group, and all these people are now on our Facebook group, so we hope we'll have many new viewers. We've been doing a challenge where if we get a large number of online comments in any given week, we make a commitment to do the show outside, not under a roof. But today, not going to happen.
We're like the post office in that sense.
What do you mean? We're like the post office?
Yeah, rain, snow, sleet, hail. We'll do it outside, but only if you ask us to.
Only if you ask it. The post office won't deliver any letters unless you give them the letters first. I want to show you top story of the week. This is unquestionably the top story of the week. Brendan found this and brought this to many people's attention.
District contains the headquarters of YouTube.
It does.
Would you care to make a YouTube video with me?
Of course.
This is for your constituents. Okay, remember.
This woman is just some woman from California. Ignore her. Jim McGovern! What? And there it was. That was, to me, that's the key, that's our key moment there, Jim McGovern.
Worcester in the spotlight, the fighting third.
Skateboarding with Stephen Colbert.
The beautiful thing, though, is that if you notice, that Stephen Colbert actually has to hold Jim McGovern up by the armpits the way you would hold a toddler up on a skateboard and coast him along the hallway of the Capitol, which is beautiful in its own regard. But
I have to say, I think it's kind of unconscionable that Jim McGovern falls off the skateboard at the end. Because this is like the city of Mike Leslie, man.
Yeah.
This is the city of one of our main top issues is like kids hanging out, skateboarding at City Hall.
Yesterday's Worcester Magazine cover story, I mean, just went over just that on the common and whatnot. And I mentioned when I threw that online that I hope that every skateboarder in the city, every kid, you know, bookmarks that video to pull out next time, you know, on their iPhone, next time the cops give them a hard time. If the gentleman from Massachusetts can skateboard the halls of the Capitol and a young person can't skateboard the concrete behind the common, there is something wrong in the world.
This is an important thing. I want to dwell on the negative aspects of Jim McGovern falling off the skateboard on Comedy Central. That it reminds me. Remember a couple of years ago when maybe it was when Tim Murray was running for lieutenant governor, and the press asked him, "What's on your iPod?" And he said, "I basically listen to all kinds of music except for loud metal."
Except for heavy metal, yeah.
And it's like you're the mayor of Worcester, and you're just like disowning like
going to any club in Worcester any night of the week, and there will be a dude screaming, you know, into a microphone, and no idea what he's saying, just screaming, and yet here we have the lieutenant governor saying he likes the dead.
And outside that club, there will be a guy on a skateboard.
getting harassed by the cops. Not falling off.
Anyway, I just thought that was awesome. Brendan, I thought that was awesome. Thanks for watching television and bringing that to our attention.
You're welcome. It was actually Derek Ring that's caught it live on Colbert and pushed it to me. So props to Derek.
Holy cow. So we got a lot of things this week. I think that probably the secondary top story is that there was a conference on growing a local green economy at Clark. Mm-hmm. They had a guy from out of town sort of as the keynote speaker, but they had about 10 people, half of whom were sort of like institutional people. Like the guy from the bus was like, oh, you know, the bus is doing some things to get greener. And then the other half of them were people who were actually sort of doing projects, local green,
right,
building a local green economy, like actually doing that work. I think it's an issue that I think is of keen interest to us. And this is another issue that we're going to like punt because I want to get two people from that conference on. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it today. We're going to talk about this more in depth, though. Our YouTube people or Facebook people, feel free to like give us a comment on what we should be asking people about growing a local green economy. The Neighborhood Network Center, Piedmont Neighborhood Network Center, celebrated its 10th anniversary last night, and there was a ton of people there. It was very exciting to see. They have recently, I guess, lost most or all of their state funding.
Mm-hmm.
This is another topic where, like, I feel like everybody who's ever been a panelist on the show, except for you and me, probably totally knows everything about the economics of the Network Center. But well, anyway.
You know, it's an interesting case in terms of a network center because that where it sits on Pleasant Street, it's kind of like the proverbial four corners of pretty much every state rep district in the city. So when they got their state funding, it was kind of obvious that that would happen at some point in time because they had cited it perfectly to get the attention of every state-level elected official in Worcester. They all the districts kind of come together on that one little corner mm-hmm. or the general vicinity of that one corner. So it makes sense that you know people were actually interested in that. It wasn't just one rep fighting for funding. It was pretty much all of our state officials fighting for funding for the center because it covered all of their constituencies.
Was that a cut? Yes, it was a cut. We were running out of batteries. We should switch the switch batteries. So the network center. Dave McMahon this week mentions on our Facebook page that we should talk about how Desmond's house has a farm. And we don't know anything about that, so we should get Dave on at some point to talk about that. Aria, actually, who was on the show talking about biomass incineration, she suggested that we talk about Buy Nothing Day.
Okay.
Do you have any personal connection to Buy Nothing Day?
I have no personal connection to Buy Nothing Day, but I do have a personal connection to the Facebook ads that we created for our new Facebook page featuring Aria, and I actually did a A-B testing between a picture of Aria and a picture of Gary Rosen.
Gary Rosen won big.
He did not, actually. Ah! Gary Rosen is no longer in circulation in the advertising. Aria does a much better job of drawing people into our new Facebook page than Gary Rosen.
What is wrong with the people of Facebook? Buy Nothing Day is a thing. It's been around for a decade or two. The idea is that you know they call it a Friday after Thanksgiving, yeah. Black Friday, because everybody does their Christmas shopping.
Yep.
And the idea is for people to say like we're against this consumerist trend in our culture, so we're not going to shop that day. Because even though it's I guess it's actually not the number one shopping day of the year. People talk about how it is.
Right.
I think it's not though. It's like the most reported on.
Mm-hmm.
People say, it's up, it's down, where are we at?
And significantly moved online over the years, too. Where, I mean, don't they have something else that they got, like Black Monday or something?
They used
like
to
that,
talk
or...
about that there was Black Monday, that people would go into work on Monday and immediately
right.
start shopping online. And now people just don't even... Now people... That doesn't happen anymore.
I mean, people realize they can shop online any day while they're
people,
working.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there used to be this thing, actually, where people, like, wouldn't blog on Thanksgiving. And now there's this thing where people just blog on Thanksgiving. And they're like, yeah, we had a great Thanksgiving. Because it's now... It's not like this big deal to, like... go online now.
Right.
It's like, oh yes, of course, I checked my email, like, you know, while I was visiting my dying grandmother, because, like, it's like just like the same reason. I also put my shoes on. It's like,
shopping just in general has changed so much, too, over the years. I mean, I'm at the age now where the majority of holiday gifts that I buy are actually for kids. So, I mean, it was over the summer that Woot.com started a kids.woot.com, and I think I took care of all of the holiday shopping for fat kids in the family over the summer by getting insane deals on, you know, toys and whatnot for
very
kids
cool.
from there. Yeah,
the
idea that there needs to be one day to run out and do all of your shopping, that's a little old school for me.
Yeah. Well, I should say...
So I will buy nothing, Aria.
Because you already bought it all. I just want to say, as a devout Catholic and sometime radical, I definitely support Buy Nothing Day. I definitely support... I feel like Christian churches have just totally missed a boat on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Buy Nothing Day people have done very little outreach, and maybe it's the fact that they only bring this up, like, at the last minute, like we're bringing it up today, a week before, I feel like whenever people say put the Christ back in Christmas, like why is it too decommercialized? Like this is how you need to start. You need to have a big, a massive nationwide thing of saying, you know what, this whole like frenzy that begins the day after Thanksgiving, it's not going to begin 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided that. But
didn't the Franciscans try just that a few hundred years ago, and they all ended up getting burned at the stake?
What to not buy anything the day after Thanksgiving?
I think it was Thanksgiving in particular, but pushing the idea of Catholicism not being about hoarding tons and tons of Europeans' money in general, and it didn't work out so well for the Franciscans out of the gate.
That you know, it's all about trying. It's all about making
it. It was a movement.
Effort.
It was a good
effort. It was a successful movement.
Yeah.
If people, you know,
we're still talking about it today.
From one perspective, that's a failure. From another perspective, that's a victory condition. You've got the eyeballs.
Yeah.
If people are burning you at the stake. I wanted to mention there's some things going on this weekend. There is the Buddha Hut buffet last week apparently went well. I didn't go. I'm not a big Buddha Hut fan. This week on Saturday, Veg Worcester, who's part of the Vegetarian Renaissance, is doing another feed-in at the McDonald's on Shrewsbury Street.
Hmm.
Maybe a McDonald's on Shrewsbury Street or the McDonald's on Shrewsbury Street?
I think there's only one on Shrewsbury Street.
This is the one, then. This is the one. They're doing their thing where basically, like, they stand outside and give you, like, vegetarian alternatives to meat.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of like shame and harass McDonald's at the same time.
How long before a member of Veg Worcester gets tased in front of a McDonald's for giving away vegetarian food for free to customers?
I don't know. I mean, they got, you know, Drew and Allison Vassallo last year, the year before, got arrested for hanging a banner and wearing a chicken suit.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're definitely headed in the right direction. It's only a matter of time, though, before McDonald's catches wind of who's eating into their profits and into their margins.
It would be, it would be interesting. I mean, I think it's kind of a brilliant protest in some ways, mm-hmm. because not only does it a very positive thing. It's not like holding signs saying McDonald's. It is holding signs saying McDonald's bad, but it's also being like, and giving you free things, good.
Here's an option.
Right, and people are like, I may still go and get a burger, but hey, some free food, like, I can't, that's pretty sweet. And I think that's, I feel like at the same time, maybe the McDonald's managers have some sort of obligation to report this to McDonald's Central, like, right. This is going on. So I feel like maybe these messages sort of go up the corporate
hierarchy.
Working
its way through the McDonald's intelligence system, yeah.
I think it may be so.
But I've never seen a guy in a chicken suit. The one thing I have not found on the internet is a guy in a chicken suit getting tased. So if Drew can put that together, I would pay to watch that.
This is what we call viral video, Drew Wilson. We should talk about... There's some musical things this weekend I just want to mention, just because I might go to them, so maybe somebody else wants to go to them. Mauro Di Pasquale has emailed me a bunch that Saturday night at 7 o'clock at the Dezian Gallery on Water Street, his sort of jazz fusion, maybe? I'm not sure what this band exactly plays. His jazz band is going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's a free thing, cash bar, but they're going to have like art and stuff.
I have nothing to offer other than Mauro's band, this jazz fusion outfit, is who puts together the title track for Rosen's Roundtable.
Rosen's Roundtable. We're going to mention Rosen's Roundtable in a second.
Music of note.
Oh, yes. And, I don't know. There's also, it's Saturday at Clark, there's a string quartet and a film presentation called Music and Psychoanalysis. The music is called Lacan. I don't remember what the film is called. It's kind of interesting to me. Anyway, Dezian Gallery is kind of cool, though. I always sort of feel like I'm in a little bit larger of a city whenever I'm in the Dezian Gallery.
I like that they're right next to the Aikido studio down there on Water Street. They both have great signs now. I just like that we have an Aikido studio and an art gallery in this one place. When you're on 290, you catch both their big signs on the top of the building. It's like, wow, this is like a city. It's very nice having them down there.
Also, happy birthday to Worcester native, Worcester congressman, and bad skater Jim McGovern, right?
Happy birthday. Yeah, his party is tonight at 55 Pearl Street. This will be probably one of the only birthday parties they have to pay admission to get into. It's a $50 donation, but it's being
hosted. They say you have to pay one way or another when it comes to birthday parties.
Yeah, this is true. And it's being hosted, though, by George McGovern, people in Massachusetts are probably the only people who've ever had a chance to actually vote for George McGovern for president, the only state that he won. So, yeah, could be a good time. That would give me an opportunity to get my skateboard signed by Jim McGovern and my copy of Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail signed by George McGovern. Two birds, one stone. Always like a good opportunity like that.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Let's talk about Rosen's Roundtable. Actually, in the first episode of Rosen's Roundtable, which is Gary Rosen's awesome public access, public affairs show where Brendan is one of the panelists on it. The first episode he had a little table like this one, and he had a chess set, and he was like trying to explain something about city politics using chessmen, and I don't think it was a good metaphor because it didn't really clarify the issue or make any sense in terms of chess. The TNG, actually, I don't know if you saw, not one of the old issues laying around here. They had an issue about this whole issue of succession of public office.
Also use
a chessboard.
I think there is a connection there. Somebody's watching.
Also made not one damn bit of sense.
Didn't make any sense at all. It was a nice effort. I'm glad to see Gary started his own meme and it's moving forward. It's nice.
Yes. So using games inappropriately. So I guess there's two things we could talk about. We could talk about Rosen's Roundtable, and we could talk about this political secession thing, mm-hmm. which also has this local twist of city council stuff. What should we talk about?
Rosen's Roundtable. I mean, last week's game was a Monopoly board. I think we covered it, right?
What was the topic?
We were talking about taxes, local taxes. Okay. So Gary went out and picked up a new Monopoly game, and it was actually kind of sad because he didn't unwrap the money, so I wasn't able to make it rain during the show. That's really all I wanted while we were talking about taxes was just throwing money around. Yeah. But couldn't happen. But in terms of the local succession plans that we have now, I mean, I think people first started to notice this when 2 days before, or the weekend before the last election, when folks started lining up for Philip Palmieri's seat as write-in candidates, with the idea that if Phil was to run for state rep down the line, if Vincent Padone runs for sheriff, that, you know, just having the highest number of write-in votes, which might be like three, would be enough for you to legally just bump right into Phil Palmieri's seat.
I want to start at the beginning because this is such a long and insane chain. So the current assessor. Who's the state person?
This is the state auditor. Joe DiNucci is stepping down.
And he's stepping down.
There is the assumption or the guess that that Guy Glotis is interested in that seat. So he
current would, sheriff.
Sheriff of Worcester County. And then you've got a bunch of locals who will run for the sheriff seat. Most notably, you've got Lou Evangelitis, Foley, who used to head up the state police, and Vincent Padone, state rep from Worcester. The idea, though, is that if, like, say, Vincent won, then you would have, you know, Phil Palmieri, city councilor, is interested in his state rep seat, so he would run for that seat.
And he and Palmieri running unopposed.
Unopposed for his council seat meant that anyone who rode in for, you know, had enough write-in votes for Phil's District 2 seat would then just slide into that seat there.
So Frank Raffa of the Firemen's Union at the last minute said, I'm going to do a write-in.
And I think he had 135 votes.
That's enough to win it.
It's more than enough to win it. The person who brought this up at last week's city council meeting was Bill Eddy, who also ran unopposed over here. And technically, the way the charter is written, even though no one put together an official sticker campaign, if, say, Bill got hit by a bus next week or whatever, you know, he moved on from his council seat, whoever got the highest number of write-in votes in our district over here, I think it was either a toss-up between Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse were the two candidates who received the highest number of write-in votes.
Right.
Either Mickey Mouse or Santa Claus would then be the one to fill Bill Eddy's seat. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is chess, and it makes no sense. Or it's not chess, but
it's political secession. It's some other game.
It's another game. Yeah, we haven't invented it. We could invent it right here. But it's silly, is really the way it is. I mean, the idea, you know, in the charter was always that the runner up would fill that seat. Now, in this particular case, it seems as though there's no runner up, just political opportunists who will take advantage of, you know, the idea of a quick write-in campaign or a sticker campaign just to have the bare minimum number of votes to slide into a seat for a full year.
So the argument here is that you should be able to secede to an office as long as you actually like ran a campaign, meaning like as long as you got enough signatures on a petition to become a candidate,
right,
and like went through that process, then it's okay if you only get 100 votes.
Right, and nobody even knows who you are. And I think that's what Bill Eddy was asking for in council session this past week, was, you know, to look at a charter change that would allow for a special election as opposed to an appointment based on the second highest vote getter. Because we're just seeing way too many district races now where people go unopposed or don't have a serious challenger, and to just line those people up in the succession plan seems to kind of buck the spirit of the charter and the election system that we have now.
Yeah. There you go.
That's it.
There you go. That's the explanation. My mushrooms are doing good.
Yeah.
My shiitake mushrooms. I got like 12 ounces.
You got the book over here, the mushroom cultivator.
This is a super old mushroom book here. I don't know. Bought this kit in the mail.
Are you still doing the log?
With the nice weather, I think I'm going to put the log out, hopefully, this weekend, drill the holes in the log, mm-hmm. stick the little pieces of mushroom wood in the log, and a year from now, maybe over the summer, suddenly we'll have mushrooms. Yeah, we have so many logs around here where there's just, like, mushrooms coming out of them. It's mm-hmm. like, why not
eat them?
I'm sure that some of them are edible, too. I just don't know enough about them.
Well, you get the book to start with.
Yeah, there you go. We have covered a ton of stuff. There's actually something else even on there, which is that Nicole, who has been a very thoughtful and good commentator on our show, also has a blog now, and it's like an actual blog. And there's like, I don't know, like there's not too many, there's a lot of people in the city who I feel like are writing on the internet, but they're not necessarily like writing about things that they know about in an engaging way.
Right. Now we have an actual big boy and girl conversation taking place online. Locally.
It's very good. It's very good. Yeah, so I would say as always that like if you feel stuff is falling from the sky, we got rain, we got leaves, we got a branch just hit something. Yeah. Speaking of building a local green economy, by the way, in the background today, as you'll notice, the Toxic Soil Busters van is parked out here. I think they need to do some repairs for that. Anyway, as always, I would say, you know, if you feel the need to read a blog about Worcester, you should obviously read Jeff Barnard's Wormtown Taxi. Taking a page from Andrew Sullivan, I think he just does a great job. He needs to write more about local stuff and less about national stuff, or come up with two separate feeds. But nonetheless, other than that, I would have no suggestion for Jeff Barnard. And of course, Tracy Nov, my strong second, or maybe my first, would be Tracy Novick's blog about the woods in Worcester, like what birds are out, what the rain's been like. You know, who's running around in the woods. This is awesome. And then this could be like a third.
I think Tracy's local education blog is also up there as well, too, just in terms of newsiness. You know, this week was a great example of where, you know, we had two stories locally about Ed Reform 2009 that's crawling its way through the state legislature. Looks like it's on hold until next year's session. But if you read those articles, or even the articles that were in the Globe, there's no detail at all. This is like a huge sweeping overhaul of state education. And we have someone locally who is actually picking that apart, understands, you know, both the big picture and the real granular stuff, and it makes it, presents it in a very palatable way. You know, I think that's a perfect example of how local media sometimes does a much better job of filling in holes and major gaps in information exchange than the local press is capable of doing. They don't have an education expert on staff at the Telegram and Gazette anymore, so finding somebody who can actually pick apart the legislation in a meaningful way is nearly impossible. But we do have someone locally who's doing a great job of that online.
Awesome. Awesome. That's everything on this list.
Time flies when you have shelter and aren't getting rained on.
I know. I feel soft.
It's relaxing.
I'm getting puffy like Hank Stoltz sitting here on an actual piece of furniture. barely a piece of furniture, we should point out, too. Is there anything else? Is there anything that people should be enthusiastic, excited about coming into this final week before Thanksgiving?
No.
All right. No enthusiasm. Well, I told you a couple things that I'm
enthusiastic about life. That's enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thanks for watching the show. Thanks for telling your mother about this show. Thanks for joining our Facebook group. And for the 508, we'll be back possibly next week. I think 2 weeks from now, we'll be back talking about building a local green economy. If you have thoughts about this, we want to bring them on. We want to have them on the show. You can call the phone number. You can post a comment. We want to read your thoughts about building a local green economy. It's like the local economy trend seems like it could be a strong trend. Very logical. The green economy trend the same way. Are they happening in Worcester? Not too much. Why is that? Are they just a fantasy, or do we need to do something? That'll be our topic 2 weeks from now.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right, Brandon. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me, bud.
All right. Thank you.